Do we still sin after we have been saved? Do we still live like the unsaved of this world? Or do we perhaps stop sinning altogether? I wonder if you've ever heard about the Holy Club. You probably haven't, because this is something that was around in the 1700s. And unless you've read some church history, you probably haven't heard about this. But this club was founded by John and Charles Wesley. And it was a group of people who were very concerned about the way they lived their lives for God. They tried to systematically serve God every hour of the day. And they set time aside for praying, for examining their spiritual lives, for studying the Bible, and for meeting together. In addition, they took food to poor families. They visited lonely people in prison. And they taught orphans how to read. And the members of this organization celebrated Holy Communion frequently. And they fasted every Wednesday and Friday until 3 p.m. John Wesley was a great theologian and evangelist. In his mid-20s, together with his brother, he founded and led this holy club, who was focused on living a life of almost perfect holiness before God. But here's something interesting. Even though he was doing that, he was not truly born again. He was externally committed to Christianity, and he was living a holy life, but he did not really trust in Christ until about 10 years later. And listen to his conversion experience in his own words. Listen carefully to what he says when he went to a meeting where people were preaching the gospel. In the evening, this was in 1738, May 24, 1738. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. He went on to become a great evangelist and a great preacher of the Word of God. This is what I want to emphasize. Change begins on the inside, and it is gradually seen on the outside. Simply focusing on the externals may give you a wrong impression about your own spiritual state or condition, or somebody else's state for that matter. What you see on the outside can be very deceiving. It can be an indication of what's going on the inside, but it may very well not be accurate. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a passage we've been looking at for a while. It's a verse that we know very well, and it tells us that there is a radical change that happens to those who are saved. And other New Testament passages say the same thing. And so far we have seen that this verse tells us a few things about those who trusted Christ. It says, first of all, it says that if you are in Christ, to be in Christ means to be united with Him. It means to be united with an infinitely holy Son of God. And if you're united to somebody who's holy, that it only makes sense that you should also be holy and live in a holy manner. It also says that we are a new creation, which if you remember last Sunday, I said that it means, among other things, to be that we are born again, that we have a new mind, that we actually have a new life every day. You see how Paul presents things? He says, and he does this many times in his epistles, he will say something like, if A is true, then B is true. And if B is true, then C is also true. This is what he does here. He basically says, if you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. And if you are a new creation, then the old has passed away and the new has come. We have looked already at some of the things which are new. But what about the old things that have passed away? Do we still sin? Have we lost the ability to sin, as some say? If so, how do we explain the moral failures that we still see in the lives of believers? But if we still sin, do we sin every day or just occasionally? Can we live lives of victory over sin? Of course, I can't answer all those questions today, but we'll try to tackle some of them. But let me just say this. The normal Christian life, and I emphasize the word normal, the normal Christian life is a life of victory over sin and Satan. That doesn't, of course, mean that we're now sinless. And even the most dedicated disciple of Christ is unable to live a perfectly sinless life. And why is that? Well, it's simply because we have two natures. You see, the unbeliever only has a nature, one nature. It has the unbeliever has that sin nature. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. They cannot want to do the will of God, even if they do it sometimes. That they don't have that desire to do the will of God. However, the believer has a new nature. That's why the Bible says that we are a new creation. We have a new nature, and this nature only wants to obey the will of God, only wants to obey God. Obviously, we have a problem here. You have the old nature, it's still in us, and we have the new nature. Which one is going to win? The question is, are we willing to do the things that will ensure that the new nature prevails and not the old nature in our lives? What are some of the old things that have passed away? Let's look at them really quick, at least some of them. I'm only going to mention a few. One of them is enslavement to sin. You see, the Bible says that before coming to Christ, we are slaves to sin. Paul says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. That's the way the old person was. But he tells us in another place, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. We're not obligated to live according to the old nature. We actually are no longer prisoners to the power of sin if we are born again, if we trusted in Christ. By the grace of God and relying on His Spirit, we can make the choice of not sinning. This is an option that's not available to the unbeliever. Another thing that we leave behind is our old way of looking at the world, our perspective on the world. And this includes everything. It includes the way you look at your relationships with other people, the way you choose your friendships, the way you see politics, the way you view sports, school, everything, society in general. Before we're saved, the old way is very simple. We don't see that anything is wrong with all those things I just mentioned. They all seem fine. They all seem normal. Another thing that one of the old things that goes away is our way of looking at sin. Before coming to Christ, sin is acceptable. It's enjoyable. But after we come to Him, it's reprehensible. We don't want it anymore. That's because of the new nature that's in us, and that's because God's Holy Spirit is in our lives. But also our desires. They used to be self-centered. They used to be self-pleasing. But now we want to live for God and for His glory. All those old things are gone from the life of the believer. You see, Paul does not teach that we stop sinning completely, but that we live lives of victory over sin. And this is the norm. I want to emphasize this. This is the norm of the Christian life. It is victory over sin and not defeat. It is not true that you can't live in holiness. That is a lie that some Christians have bought, but it's absolutely not true. Very quickly, how can we live a victorious life? First of all, please understand this. There is absolutely no silver bullet. There is not one thing that you can do or do once or have this one experience and all of a sudden now you're going to live perfectly holy for the glory of God. But you can live a holy life if you follow some basic things. Number one, realize that you are united to Christ and you are dead to sin. Consider yourself dead to sin. Number two, trust in the grace of God. Everything that happens to us is because of the grace of God. We come to Him by grace. We are saved by grace. We are kept in the state of salvation by grace. We're made holy by grace. Rely on the grace of God. But also rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God coming to live in us and with us. Learn to listen to Him, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to what He says. You know, when somebody offends you, what's your first reaction? You want to get back, right? You want to get them back. You want to make them pay. You think that's a response that comes from the Holy Spirit or from the old human nature? It's from that old sin nature. You don't want to react according to that. Learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And finally, make sure you use the means that God has given us. And this is very practical. Use the means that God has given us to enable us to live holy lives. What are some of them? The Holy Scriptures, reading and memorizing, meditating on the Bible. Fellowship with other believers. That's another thing that will help you stay away from things that are not according to the will of God. And of course, prayer, because that's when you communicate with God. You then establish a two-way communication. God speaks to you through His Word. You speak to Him through prayer. Let me ask you this as I close. Do you still live a life of sin or do you have a life of victory over sin? Have you abandoned your old ways? And can you even name for yourself specific areas in your life where you can say, you know what, I have victory over sin in this area. Or maybe I see progress. I see substantial progress. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit, by His grace, if you cooperate with His Holy Spirit, you will be able to live a life of victory over sin. I want you to meditate this week on 2 Corinthians 5:15, two verses up. It says this, "And He died for all," this is Christ, of course, "that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again." Meditate on this, think about those things, and live for God. It is possible to live a holy life for God. May God help you to do that, and may God help all of us to do that. Amen.